So tonight, if you have your Bibles, if you'll turn to Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. A lot of times when you're short on time, it's probably a good thing to preach on a scripture of obscurity, which nobody knows anything about, like out of the book of Haggai. And you can just come up with some simple points because y'all don't know whether I'm right or not. So, but God said, no, Corey, we're going to preach a passage which we've all learned since Mission Friends or baby bed babies. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your understanding. And I said, thank you, God. I really appreciate that. But after digging into this scripture, it is one of the beautiful passages. Let me just set this up. Solomon wrote this, and theologians believe that he is writing it to a son that is leaving his household. And if you don't know about Solomon, God grant him great wisdom. And as we're in men's Bible study, I haven't been in a while, but I got the book and I'm still reading it on the book of Ecclesiastes. In the book of Ecclesiastes, Solomon wrote that, and he's basically saying, look, I've tried all the drugs, I've tried all the women, tried all the partying, and this is one thing true. You're going to die. And once you realize you're going to die, you can live. And so, wouldn't you like to sit on a conversation where the wisest man is telling his son, who's now grown, what he wants to leave with him? I'm going to date myself. I remember when Price was Right came on back in the 70s and 80s, and there was that commercial. And it was all these businessmen. Hey, what are you doing with your portfolio? What are you doing with your stocks? Are you selling gold? Are you buying gold? Well, E.F. Hutton says, and everybody would get quiet to hear what E.F. Hutton said. Well, this passage, we get to hear what a father says to a son. Let me just read the passage that we're going to deal with this evening. But we need to look at the first four verses. So let me start with chapter 3, verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your body and refreshment to your bones. Honor the Lord from your wealth and from the first of all your produce. So your barns will be filled with plenty, and your vats will overflow with new wine. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for bringing us here this evening. I know it's the summer months and many are traveling, and we pray for their safety and that you'll watch over them. And Lord, may you bless our youth next week, and may those who don't know you as Lord and Savior find salvation. And may those who know you as personal Lord and have salvation, may you move them to a deeper relationship with you. We thank you for this time. And I pray that the words that come out of my mouth will glorify your name and your name only. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we come to this understanding that he's talking to his son. And he says, my son, in verse 1, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you. Do not let kindness and truth leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart, so you will find favor and good repute with both God and man. Even though we know Solomon messed up, he had the concubines and the women, and they did everything probably not according to the scripture, definitely not according to the scripture, he sinned. He was a godly man. He followed the ways of the Lord. He repented when he needed to repent. And in this, he is telling his son, obey the commandments. Now that word is actually translated to what we call the Torah. If you remember in Deuteronomy chapter 6, the Bible tells us in chapter or verse 7 that we're to love the Lord God with all our heart. And he says, Tell your children day, night, when they rise in the morning and when they go to bed, proclaim this. Which sometimes I know I'm guilty of not doing that as much as I should. And by the grace of God, I have wonderful kids who love the Lord Jesus Christ. But we think this son, from the reading of this, because he tells him, he says in verse 5, trust in the Lord. But before we get there, he says, look, may love and kindness be wrapped around your neck. It all has to come from love. You know, Paul said that. Faith, hope, love. The greatest of this is love. If you do not have love, you're like a clanging cymbal. One time I spanked Kai when she was really little because she was banging on a pot in our pantry, and it ended up not being her doing it. It was our hot water heater kind of acted up, and I thought she was banging, and I wore her tail out, and Julie's like, that wasn't her, it's the hot water heater. And I'm like, it was driving me crazy. And I wonder today times if we get a lot of the things upon us as the church because we do not love. I understand obedience, I understand faith, I understand following the commandments. But if we do not love, what does it gain us? If we do not love the unlovable, or as in Luke chapter 6, even sinners love those who love them. I'm just going to let you know, we've brought homosexual men to this church. Boys that are confused and don't know where they're supposed to be in this world. And it's a lot of confusion, and we love them. I've had African-American children in my house, and they go, why are you letting me in your house? Because you're a human being. I love you. I've had Hispanics that have cleaned out my refrigerator several times, and we enjoy it. Why? Because I get to spend time with them, and the time I get to spend with them, I get to tell them about the Lord. I get to show them the Lord. Love must encompass everything that we're going to talk about tonight. And I have... I mean, who I got? 3 points that I want to share with you. There is a requirement, and then there is a promise. He says in verse 5, and we all know it, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Trust in the Lord. That is the requirement. That is the prerequisite. Look, trusting is the first step to your walk with God. You remember back in the 80s, like you said, hey, here's little Billy. He trusted God as his Lord and Savior. Let me tell you, the Hebrew word is batak. And you know what it means? Y'all ready? Trust. There's no other word that it is translated other than trust. Trust in the Lord. It is the first step to salvation. He says, look, with all your heart, there is no wavering. With all of your seat of your emotions, whoever you are, you have to trust in the Lord. There is no room for nothing else. Remember when I was in seminary, I was a groomsman to one of my, dorm mates. His name was Randall Horton. He began working at this school with kids, and he met this girl, and they're going to get married. And I remember Brother Paul was doing the ceremony, and we were at the rehearsal dinner, and I remember him saying these words. I'll never forget him saying these words. He said, boys, sometimes when it comes to marriage, it's not about love, but it always has to be about trust. Now, I can understand that, and I kind of agree with it, because I think in love there is trust. But sometimes our love is fickle. There's things that I know drive my wife crazy. Don't look at her, because she'll probably be nodding like, yeah. I drive her crazy. There's times where she gets mad at me. There are times we fight. But you know what? I trust her. I trust her that she's going to stay true to the commitment that we made on May the 1st many years ago. And I hope she trusts me that I am going to keep the commitment no matter how mad she makes me. Trust is the, and when we do it with all our heart, is what Charles Bridges says when he does a great commentary on the Proverbs. He says, it has to be exclusive. There's no sharing. Which goes back to Jesus' final words to the disciples. I go to prepare a place for you. If it were not so, I would tell you that. But I'm going to prepare a place for you. Thomas asked a question. Lord, how do we know who you are? Where are you going? How do we know the way? And he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I trust whoever built this building did it right. But let me warn you, if you ever hear Corey Burrell built a church, do not walk in it because I am the worst handyman in the world. Do not trust my handyman skills. But here is what he's saying. He's saying, trust in the Lord. It is not a thing. It is the person. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And we could go through the word Lord, but I want to go back to where Paul in the book of Philippians says, my chief purpose is to know Christ. The more you know Jesus Christ, the more you trust him. I have kids. You know, we've gone through the younger years where they were scared of things. Now it's, we're on, my sister has jet skis. And I remember one time, I'm not driving. I'm never driving one. I don't want to drive one. So I get her on jet ski with me and I make a hard turn and Corey falls off that bad boy. And guess what? It don't have that little pedal. Some of the nicer models have that little pedal that drops down. You can put your foot on it and grab that bad handle and get up. Well, there's a lot of me back then. I couldn't get back on it. And we're about a quarter of a mile from my sister's house. And I'm floating. I mean, I got a life jacket on and I'm panicking. I'm like, Kai, I cannot get back on it. She's on it. And I said, this is what you're going to have to do. You're going to have to drive back. And you're going to have to tell them to bring the boat so I can get my big rear end on it. Daddy, I can't do it. I can't do it. I said, look, you can do this. I have confidence that you can do this. She did it. I sat in the water for about an hour and a half. Because I think she went a half a mile per hour on that little thing for a quarter of a mile. And we got me home. Trust. Do you have confidence in the Lord? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And he says, and do not lean on your own understanding. Here's the great fallacy with many people in the church today. Here's where the people will miss it or not get it. Let me just put it this way. There are 80 million American men who have a subscription to OnlyFans. If you don't know what OnlyFans, praise the Lord. It's a subscription where you see pictures you shouldn't be seeing. 80 million. Y'all realize there's only about 160 million men in America. Half of the population of men have a subscriptions to OnlyFans. What Christian men usually do is this. Well, I'm doing pretty good because I don't have a subscription to OnlyFans. I must be very spiritual because I don't have a subscription to anything. Watch yourself and do not lean on your own understanding. In Ephesians chapter 4, he says we're ignorant. In the book of Romans, it tells us so many things that our heart is, Isaiah says our hearts are deceitfully wicked. We're enemies of God. We hate the things of God. We suppress the truth of God. And then when we finally found salvation and God wipes all that out, we're still going back to the dead work and the dead life. Do not lean on your own understanding. Trust in the Lord. What will He do? Well, we got to go on to another prerequisite. He said, in all your ways, acknowledge Him. What does the word acknowledge mean? It means to know. It's from the Greek word yada. But every sense, there's another Greek word that I can't pronounce. The Greek word yada, it's always written in an intimate way. If you go to Genesis chapter 4, when we have a genealogy and it talks about Eve knew Adam and they had children. It's an intimacy. He says, in all your ways, acknowledge Him. Paul echoes the whole thing again in Philippians chapter 3. He says, look, I just want to know Him. I want to know the power of His resurrection. This acknowledgement, in all your ways, acknowledgement, it's staying in His presence. It's being with Him. It enlightens where Paul tells the Thessalonians, pray without ceasing. God's not asking you to kneel and bow your head and close your eyes. He's asking you to acknowledge Him. Acknowledge Him can be coming to Him and asking for wisdom, which James tells us to do in James chapter 1. But it also can be praise and worship. God, I'm acknowledging You. But what it isn't is what we see on TV when you got some musician or some rapper who sings horrible, incorruptible, abominable lyrics and then says, I thank my Savior, Lord Jesus Christ. No, that's not acknowledging Him. Acknowledging Him is not coming on Sunday and listening to a sermon and think you've got it settled for the week. Acknowledgement is this constant in the presence, seeking God and the wisdom of God. It is humility. Why do we pray? If God's sovereign, why do we pray? To humble us. To make us what we need to be. To have this relationship. My marriage doesn't work if I do everything that I want to do. I mean, we watch TV together. We do different things. I went shopping 7 hours. Let me tell y'all, that's the tiredest I've ever been. Holy moly. Victor that comes to church with us, he needs some clothes because all the blue jeans he has, he uses them for work and they're dirty because he's a welder. And he's like, Coach, I need you to buy me some clothes. I'm like, no, you need to buy you clothes. I'll go shopping with you. So for 7 hours, we're following around Kai and Julie. And there I'm like, Vic, you ready for this? Yeah, I think so. After Old Navy, first store, he's like, I'm worn out. I'm tired. Why did we go? I went because I wanted to spend time with my family. And you need to spend time with the Lord. It is humility. But here's the promise. Look what he says in verse 6. And He will make your paths straight. It gives us this glimpse of in the Gospels when it tells us that John the Baptist was the forerunner for Jesus. The custom in the biblical times was when somebody of royalty or authority, let's say, was going from here to Alpine, a group of people would come and they would make the path straight. Horses, camels, chariots. They would get the rocks out of the way. They would find the best place. They would look and make sure, you know, villains and thieves couldn't harm them. They would make the path straight. God says, if you trust in Me and if you acknowledge Me and if you spend time with Me, I will make your path straight. Now, I'm going to tell you one thing I hate about my job is driving. I do the Pell City branch and I do the Alex City branch. And there are some days where I have to do a new patient within 5 days. And lovely nurses won't tell me that we've got a new patient. They're like, hey, you got a new patient. She's got to be done today. And I'm like, you realize I'm in Trustful and she lives in Eclectic. Yep, that's why we gave you a company car. Enjoy that 100-mile trip. Those trips don't bother me. But what bothers me is when you get down here to Lake Martin and you've got two patients to see and you're seeing one and you can look across the river and see the house of the other one, but you can't get to the house of the other one because I don't have a boat. And I have to drive 16 miles to get to the other side. God says, if you trust in me and you acknowledge me, I will make the path straight. What does he mean by that? You're not going to be wasting your time. You're not going to be busybody. You remember Jesus says, look, these things I've done great things, but greater things you will do. He will make the path straight. I have a friend who on Saturday, he will run a ultra Spartan race. Okay, listen to this. 31 miles, 60 obstacles. If he fails at any of the obstacles, he has to drop and do 30 burpees. I'm not going to demonstrate a burpee because I got to work out later this evening. Sorry. No. He was talking to he's a pastor. He's in Bibb County. He's a pastor. He was talking to this lady who runs marathons. She's an elite marathon runner. Like, we're talking Olympic level right there at it. And he was saying, look, I'm going to do this race. And she said, you're absolutely crazy. She said, I don't know how you could actually run and then stop and get your heart rate over trying to go the obstacle and then start running again to get to the next obstacle. Look, I'm not saying this passage is not saying that God's going to make your path straight, that you're not going to have problems. You remember Jesus said, the storms will come. Will you put it on the rock or will you put it in the sand? If you trust him and acknowledge in him, that's building upon the rock. Because like the lady today, everybody tells me they're saved. And I prick and I dig and try to get the wave there and try to see where they're really at. You know, where are you going when you die? I'm going to go see my mama and my brother and my two sisters who all died for cancer. Well, what about Jesus? Well, yeah, I know he's going to be there. Okay. Acknowledge him and he shall make the path straight. So that means when cancer comes, when illness comes, because Paul tells us in the book of Corinthians, the outer man's decaying, the inner man's being renewed. Take what supplements you want to take. Yes, the body is a temple and we must take care of it, should take care of it and feed it properly and exercise and drink water and do what we're supposed to do. But folks, you're going to get old and you're going to die. I'm going to get old and I'm going to die. But the inner man's being renewed. The inner man's being brought to where Jesus Christ wants it to be. You're headed to the step of glorification and dealing with people dying. He has to get us out of here somehow, some way. And we can, this salvation that we have will be brought to fulfillment when we take our last breath or Jesus returns. The promise is he will make the path straight. You remember Psalm 119? He's a light unto my path, lamp unto my feet. Second prerequisite, fear him. Look with me in verses 7 and 8. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Remember he said that in verse 5 in a way. Do not lean on your own understanding. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. Okay, boy, you're leaving the house. This is what I want to tell you. Fear the Lord. Matter of fact, it's the overarching theme of this whole book, Proverbs, it's wisdom. In Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7, and I think he says it again in 14, fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord. Why? Because it is the beginning of wisdom. I said that in Proverbs 1, boy. And he said, look, and turn away from evil. So the requirement is fear the Lord and turn away from evil. My mom, she's 84 years old. She's got some stuff going on. We think it's Lipitor. God bless her. She's having strange dreams. Like she told me today, she's like, hey, I finally called a doctor. Because I hate Lipitor. I hate medicine anyway. And I said, look, she said, yeah, I had a dream last night. And I'm like, what did you have a dream about? Flying porcupines. I'm like, flying porcupines. And she said, yeah, I think it's, anyway, they're changing her medicine. And she says, you know what I keep doing? She said, I keep on quoting that passage. Submit to the Lord, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. It's wisdom. It's right here. Fear the Lord and flee from evil. Turn away from evil. The prerequisite is this, fear the Lord. We have lost the fear of the Lord in the church today. Turn from evil. Like I said, only 80 million people have, or men have, an OnlyFans account. But look, that's not the biggest sin. You know what the biggest sin in the church today? Worrying. Because then we have to go back to when he says, trust the Lord. I would just love to see a vivid illustration in my head. I'm seeing me with my son, with my daughter, going, just trust me. Trust me. If you'll do this, trust me, it'll work. I mean, I've told Jax, I said, look, when you go to college, don't you love Life 360? Parents, isn't that wonderful? I'll see him at different places and I'll just text him, all right, be smart. That's what I tell him, be smart. Just trust me. God's saying, just trust me. I told Jackson, I said, well, look, when you go to school, I said, here's the best advice I can give you. Treat every day like an 8-hour day. So if you go to class for 2, you study for 6. If you go to class for 4, you study for 4. He's probably done that and more, and it's worked out for him. The prerequisite is fear of the Lord. The prerequisite is to turn away from evil. We're worrying. Worrying will kill you more than anything on the face of the earth. I have seen people age dramatically. Why? Worrying. I don't know if I've ever shared this. I had a brother who was killed in a car wreck when I was 9 years old. My grandmother worried herself almost to death after he was killed. She grieved herself to death. We're going to grieve. Paul told the Thessalonians, I want you to grieve as people who have hope. It will devastate you physically. But listen, here's the promise. It will be healing to your body and refreshment to your bones. So, if that's healing to your body and refreshment to the bones, fear the Lord and turn from the evil. If we don't fear the Lord and we don't turn from evil and we keep a life of sinning, it's not going to be fun. So, we must trust Him. We must fear Him. Thirdly, we must honor Him. Verses 9 through 10. Honor the Lord from your wealth and from the first of all your fruits. So your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. Great money. There's a lot of scriptures about money. I think Jesus talked about money more than he did, or that in hell more than he did about anything else. James talked about it. Jesus, when he saw the rich young ruler, said it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of the needle than a rich man to receive the kingdom. James chapter 5, he blasts them. He says, you've lived a lavish life. Pastors have said, look, you show me where somebody's money is, that's where their heart is. So if we go back to trust him with all of our heart, do you trust him with your money? So much that you'll give him the first fruits? Now look, I'm not about prosperity gospel. I believe God blesses in many different ways. And just because you give him a 20 doesn't mean he's going to bless you with 100-fold, brother. No, not necessarily. He might bless you with peace and love. And as the Bible said, God blesses a cheerful giver and loves a cheerful giver. How do I honor him? He says right here, give your first fruits. In other places, praise him, worship him. If your tithe or whatever you want to call it, offerings is not an act of worship to you, if you're not cheerful about it, you need to stop and get your heart right. If honoring God with your tithes and your offerings is not your first priority, there's a spiritual problem. He said, so your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. The love of money is the root of all evil, but let me tell you, I think it was our first year of marriage. Our first year of marriage was absolutely horrible. Not because of us, but because we went through the church split and all the staff except me went with one side and I was with one of the church splits. And if you're in a church split and you're the only minister, guess what? You're the only target. And people start shooting. And they hired a new pastor who probably is one of those false teachers in the latter books, if you actually listen to his sermons. And somebody asked me one time about some sermons that were being preached, and I said, is this confidential? And when somebody said, yeah, it's confidential, don't ever believe them. It's going to get to them. I says, I've seen kiddie pools be preached in these sermons. Don't ask Corey if you don't want the truth. So they fired us. There goes one of our salaries. And guess what? We have a new baby. Guess what? We still tithe. Top of the bill was still the tithe. Didn't miss a payment. Wasn't easy. If we went out to eat, I remember one time we went out to eat to Jim and Nick's because Julie got a gift certificate for some presentation she did. I'll never forget it because that was the first time Jackson got a hold of a rib bone. And boy, was that sucker happy. So your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow. Stock market's going to crash. Going to go up and down. Gold's going to go up. Gold's going to go down. Everything's fickle. But look, when you invest your life, your time, your money with the Lord, you will be blessed. I didn't say you're going to get rich. I just said you're going to be blessed. I want to close with John chapter 14, verses 1 through 7. And I'll pray and we'll be dismissed. This is Jesus talking. Do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you. For I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way where I'm going. Thomas said to Jesus, Lord, we do not know where you're going, and how do we know the way? And Jesus said to them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you know him and have seen him. Let's pray. Father God, I pray, even in my own life, that I trust you more, that I fear you in a reverent, holy fear more, that I honor you more, that I acknowledge you more, that I get to know you more. Lord, I pray if there's somebody who has not trusted you as first personal Lord and Savior and has taken that first step to walking with you, to seeing their paths made straight, moving the rocks and the obstacles in the way. Lord, you tell us that in this world we'll have trouble, but fear not, for you have overcome the world. You have made the path straight. Thank you for loving us. I thank you for this wonderful church. And as we leave this place, may we be the missionary upon the mission field, reaching those who you give us an opportunity to share with. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you.